Ho, 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 and Merry Christmas, everybody. It's a little bit too soon to be doing that. I think this episode drops on December the 4th.
Okay.
But it's the Christmas season.
Yeah, it's time.
Katie's already got a phone case with little ho, ho, ho's on it or something. I don't know. I took my glasses off. I can't see it.
Yeah. Those look
maybe
like,
it's not ho's.
Martinis and it's like Christmas cheer.
Yeah, little cocktails, little ribbons.
Mm-hmm.
Bah, humbug. my only Christmas piece of clothing is a black t-shirt with the Grinch on it.
Oh, that's good. Good
and I will
you.
Probably wear that at the Christmas cabaret.
Do you still?
Which may have already happened by the time you hear this.
Do you still?
No, that's not right.
No, it's happening.
That's
next,
on the 13th of the February 13th? At 6:30.
No, December.
I'm sorry. What did I say?
February?
What the hell is February
You're
the 13th?
You're moving on to Valentine's Day.
Well, season 5 is about to sneak up on us. I'm trying to get ahead of the game here. December the 13th. Yes. That's a Friday.
Yes.
Ooh, I hope that's a lucky Friday.
Friday
the
13th. It is literally the nightmare before Christmas.
We'll probably fall off the stage that night. Swell. Anyway, that's at 6:30. The tickets are available on the Easy Street Facebook page. Katie, is that correct?
Yep. The online ticket link, like always.
Yep. Mm-hmm. My name is Scott Wright. I am a mediocre journalist.
Kelly Turner, not a doctor.
Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
So I texted you guys a couple of days ago. Okay. And I'm going to ask Kelly about her experience on Beyond 21.
Oh,
apparently, I listened to the first 20 minutes of that. You were a guest on the Caitlin Jolly Gossett, Kelly Gossett,
a few weeks ago, whatever her new last name is,
podcast. And apparently, I talk too much.
Did I say that?
Yes. That's correct.
I thought they said it and I agreed laughingly as a joke.
We're splitting hairs. At this point,
I don't think that I came out and said Scott talks too much.
Yeah, that's what you said.
I did say that you are animated when you talk, as I am. You talk with your
hands.
You
did say that.
As you know, I am.
I am holding on to the arms of this chair, and they're not going to move today.
Look, let me
just to show you that I can speak without waving.
Now this makes sense, Katie.
Uh-oh.
Because when Scott walked in today, and he slung the door open, and he kicked the stop out from under, and he slammed it, now we are peeling this onion. He was mad. I didn't say you talked
just
much.
At the sight of your face. It made me angry.
Kelly said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I got new glasses."
Yeah,
and
that said, was what? Okay. Are they mad at you?
There's a whole long story about that. I got three new pairs of glasses recently. Spent $700, my Christmas present to me this year.
Happy Christmas.
Well, unfortunately, a couple of months ago, I got a new puppy, and Edwina. Mm-hmm. Or Edwina, as we call her at the house. When I say we, I mean me, depending on whether I'm mad at her or not.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I was mad at her when she chewed up two pairs of my new glasses in the last week.
That's not
fortunately,
good.
I paid the warranty for scratch. They will replace them in a year.
Yes.
Replace them in a year if...
Okay.
If they
scratch
get
and dent warranty.
Do you
put them in a drawer?
I was about to say, do you want to tell the people where you keep your glasses?
I keep them on the nightstand. And
no,
Weenie
you don't.
Is 4 pounds, 6 pounds. She can't get up there, but somehow she does. She's got these really long arms. She's got like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar arms, and she can reach.
I thought you kept them under your pillow.
Okay, I did that one time.
Just put them in a drawer. She can't open a drawer.
I did keep them under the pillow that one time.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a hold of those. And so then I graduated to the nightstand.
Yeah.
Thinking I had fooled that little tiny-brained individual, but I did not.
Okay.
Apparently, she's smarter than me.
I want to go back to you're mad at me.
Okay.
That's what I want to go back to.
I was hoping to skip over that.
I did not say you talked too much. Someone else said it, and I didn't argue.
Okay.
Let's just be clear.
And that's fair.
You did that also say, you said this, you said that Shane Givens and I bicker like brothers.
I did.
Yeah, and that's true.
Because I originally, when I was talking to you guys about starting the podcast, which you can listen to that episode and hear all this, I wanted that because I thought that would be a funny thing. And then that's when Shane suggested Katie.
Yeah, we traded up and got his wife instead.
We definitely upgraded.
And
definitely.
You know, you said he didn't want to do it. That wasn't his thing. Well, guess what? We've talked about this before. He substituted for you 1 week when you were out of town. And next thing you know, he's got his own damn podcast across the street.
He did sub for me. And I thought he did a great job. I thought you guys were great.
I refuse to comment on that.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought it was great.
But
what else did I say, Scott? What else did I say?
I was really focusing on the negative this
week. Uh-huh. I know you were. What
you
else?
You seem very negative today.
I know.
Yeah, your vibes
are off. Alabama lost yesterday. The Steelers lost on Thursday night.
Look, as we record
this, I'm afraid to cross the street.
We're
right
recording
now.
This like 2 weeks in advance. Yeah. So Alabama may have won yesterday, or the past
most
weekend,
recently.
As you listen to this.
I'm talking
know.
About the
Oklahoma game. Yeah.
They got trounced.
It was
by Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That's the game. Anyway, a bad weekend for me football wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess I'm in a curmudgeonly mood. Plus, it's December. I got to stop doing the raspberries into the microphone, I swear. I've got to stop doing that. But to try to get myself into the Christmas spirit, I suggested to you guys earlier in the week, hey, let's everybody talk about, quickly, our top five favorite Christmas movies of all time. I'm going to go last since it was my idea.
Okay. And tell everybody what I texted to you as you said that.
You said, I'll bet Die Hard is number two on your list.
And where is it?
Number two on my list.
Yeah, he sent it immediately.
I'd already written it.
How did she know
it was number two?
I just know you.
Because I toyed with making it number one just to annoy the two of you.
Mm-hmm, but you didn't.
And then I had to be honest about it. Yeah. But all five of my movies from the 80s, because so am I.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That is nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
All right, Katie, you go first. Let's hear yours.
Number one, Elf.
Wait, you're starting at the top of the list?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, whatever.
Well,
she can do what you want.
Honestly, they're not in, like, they could be interchangeable.
You
y'all
said
know how,
one.
Y'all know how I feel about movies.
Okay, so you're just giving us
she
five,
is ambivalent
five,
at best.
Five Christmas movies that you like. All right, go ahead. Elf is a good one.
How Grinch Stole Christmas, which you have claimed is not a movie, but it is.
No, Esquire says that it is.
Okay.
In their list of the
That's
top 60
too.
Christmas movies, it's on the list.
Yeah. It's... with Jim Carrey, I'm talking about the
Jim you're
Carrey
talking about
one.
The Jim Carrey. That certainly is.
Great one.
But they've got the original animated cartoon
animated
from 66 listed.
No, I'm not big on animation.
And it's half an hour long.
Anime is not
I'm not
thing.
Big on animation.
Yeah. Noted.
Okay. The Santa Claus movies with
Tim Allen.
Oh, those are good.
And Four Christmases.
Okay.
Oh, is that Vince Vaughn and
that's a good
Reese
one.
Witherspoon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that.
Mm-hmm. It's hilarious.
If it's Vince Vaughn, it's got to be. And Reese Witherspoon's funny, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Actually, there's a couple of those. I have Elf and Four Christmases on my list as well.
Oh, I guess also A Christmas Story.
Oh,
not that I really love that anymore, but when I was a kid, you know, does it still do the 24 hours on TV?
TNT or whatever channel they do it on now.
Keep it on. And I would sit there and just memorize it because that was like my sit there. We had a little train that went around our Christmas tree, and I'd sit there by that train and I'd memorize that movie.
I love it.
I think it's by osmosis. You can't help it with 24 hours over and over, and there's nothing else on.
Right.
You just kind of pick it up.
Yes.
I drove my family nuts just talking at the TV. Is what it is.
Well, I left my list on my desk at work, so I don't remember the exact order. I do remember the number one, and I'll say that last, and I'll tell you why. But what I was thinking was, I first thought, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to get five.
But yeah, you said
I actually have more than that, and it was very difficult then. So I had to think, okay, around the holidays, if I turn the television on and this movie is on, will I sit there and watch it?
Yeah, that's a good way to come up with this.
And so this is, okay. So I have Elf, and I have Four Christmases is in my number two spot.
It's so good.
Elf would be my number three. And then I'm four and five, or I had like three different movies that I was trying to rotate between four and five. And, this one's a little, you know, non-wholesome, but, Bad Santa.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll watch Bad Santa every time. Billy Bob.
Yeah. That's
I will watch anything with Billy Bob Thornton.
It's hilarious. Yeah. And he plays like just the best, worst human being ever. Mm-hmm. So that's a good one for me. And then I do love, what other one did I have on there? Jeez, I forgot. Anyways, my number one is, this is so cliche, but it's Christmas Vacation because I will watch it every single time. Yeah. I will not watch that movie all the way through. We have a family movie night where we watch that one every single time. Mm-hmm. That's the best for me. Then the Four Christmases, then Elf. I can't remember what the heck I put it for. And then there's Bad Santa.
If only I had given you guys 3 days to come up with this
list. Well, I left my list on the desk, and I know there was some things I was interchanging, and I can't remember, but I do know what's at number four, and I don't want to say because it's your number one, and I'm going to say
really?
That and let you do that. Yeah.
Huh. All right.
Yeah,
well,
go.
I'm glad that that's on your list.
It is on my list. I used to watch it as a kid, like every holiday season. And then also another one that tied for the bottom four or five for me was Mixed Nuts. It's with Steve Martin and
that's a suicide prevention hotline.
It is.
They work
at a crisis center.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious.
It's got to be.
It's a funny.
Steve Martin's in it. It has to be.
It's a funny. I got to watch that tonight. Anyways, it's a great one.
I want to watch it again.
Mixed Nuts. That's a good one.
All right. So my number five, I think we can all agree, A Christmas Story.
That's a good one.
That's from 1983, the one that they play on a loop for 24 hours.
Love it.
Number four is Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
From 89.
Mm-hmm. Is this where I say I've never seen Christmas Vacation?
Yes, it is.
Good Lord.
I was going to. Yeah.
I didn't think you could shock me with that anymore until right then.
I know.
Like, how do you not? You really, it's like.
I've never seen Family Vacation either.
Television. Oh, like the Wally World one? Like the original?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not called, it's just Vacation.
Just Vacation? Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah, if you Google that, you're not going
to
find it.
I think that I wish I could go back to never seeing that movie and watch it again for the first time. Do yourself a favor and treat yourself and just check it out.
Next week, when we come back. I have never seen Four Christmases.
Oh, you got to watch that.
You have never seen, find some Christmas movie you've never seen, Kelly.
Okay.
And Katie, you're going to watch Christmas Vacation.
All right, good.
And we'll come back and just discuss them briefly. It'll still be early December.
Okay. When I had told you I've only seen one movie on your list, it was Christmas Story.
Got it. All right, you be thinking about the Christmas movie you have not seen, Kelly.
Okay, I will.
And we'll finish up this bit with.
I know what it is, and I don't want the homework, so I'm scared to say.
Go ahead. Really? Are you going to say what I think you're going to say?
I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
And I just
it's don't. Good. You'll enjoy it. I was well into adulthood before I ever watched it.
Okay.
Because NBC shows it, or they used to anyway. That was their Christmas staple for a long time. It may still be. But it took me a long time to see that one. But you'll enjoy it. It's good.
All right.
It's Jimmy Stewart.
I've never seen it either. Mm. But I do remember it always being on TV.
Yeah.
Okay, number four, I said Christmas Vacation. Number three, Trading Places.
Oh, that's a funny one.
That's the worst Christmas, or the worst Santa costume ever, the one that Dan Aykroyd is wearing because he's a homeless person at the time. He's been kicked out of his rich life. And I'm not even looking at Katie right now because I know she hasn't seen the damn
thing.
She
hasn't seen it. No.
Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd.
Good movie.
Hilarious.
It is.
From 1983. Number two is Die Hard.
Yeah, of course.
And I mean, literally, there is a line in the movie that says, "Ho, ho, ho, now I have a machine gun." So if there's any doubt in your mind that it is a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
Do you want to hear my quick Die Hard story?
Sure.
I tried to watch Die Hard.
What do you mean you tried to watch it?
Well, Ellison and I were sitting around one day looking for something to watch, and I was like, everyone says this is a Christmas movie. We should watch it. And she was like, okay. And so I pull it up. I get to watching it, and I'm like, this is not what I thought this movie was. I'm so confused. I don't even know what the movie's about. I was talking to Shane about this morning because I was asking him his Christmas movie so I could remember what I was going to say.
Yeah.
And he was like, what are you talking about? And he gave me a little bit of the plot of Die Hard. Mm. I said, I think I tried to watch Braveheart.
No, that's not a Christmas movie.
Not at all.
I said, because we had to turn it off. We were not in, like, we were like, this makes no sense. This is not Christmas.
The homework is just stacking up for you, Givens.
And he's like, this will come back up. So I took the legs out from under his story.
Okay, good. Braveheart. And
yeah,
Die
we tried
Hard.
To watch Braveheart. And then we both were like, this is not what we want to watch right now.
This doesn't put me in the Christmas spirit at all.
Not at all. All right, my number one film, Christmas movie of all time from 1988. Bill Murray, Carol Kane,
Scrooged.
I mean,
a great
it's
one.
Just damn hilarious.
It was one of my favorites as like a middle schooler.
Yeah. My favorite line, the bitch hit me with a toaster.
That's a great one.
If you've
one.
Seen it, you know what I'm talking
and
about.
And I'm probably like watching it now, probably. I was probably too young to be watching it. It has some mature moments.
Yeah, it had some language.
But it was okay.
But it's just Bill Murray is always funny.
Always.
No matter what. And he plays the biggest asshole he's never played on the screen, I think.
He's Ebenezer Scrooge.
He is, yeah, yeah. It's a twist on the old A Christmas Carol.
At the
story.
Time, it was a modern twist.
Yeah.
I think you could still call it that.
Sure.
Because it's not, you know.
He's not wearing the nightgown and the cap.
No, but he is visited by three ghosts.
That's right.
And his old partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, played by...
I don't know.
John Forsythe.
I feel like the late John Forsythe part of this Dynasty. Movie.
You probably have.
This sounds familiar.
It's on somewhere.
Yeah. He's a rich jerk of a television executive.
And he wants to, they're putting on a production of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
And he is browbeating everyone and just being a menace to his coworkers and his secretary. And he fires Bobcat Goldthwait 10 minutes into the movie. And that's a running gag that just proliferates throughout. Anyway, if you've never seen it, my number one.
Okay, there's also a good, everybody Google this and then we'll get to the story today. Google the SNL skit where you've got Martin Short and Steve Martin and they're doing a play off the Ebenezer Scrooge.
I don't think I've ever laughed that hard in my life.
That is a fantastic. SNL's been
instant
doing
classic.
Really, I'm like, they're hitting.
That's probably two or 3 years old.
Yeah, so in the past few years, they've really been on point, I feel like. That's a hilarious
great bit.
Christmas skit, so check that out. All right, I'm done.
Okay. Katie, you have the floor, young lady.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's probably the last time we'll get to, like, laugh today.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
Because the story is no good.
Okay. But we are a true crime podcast.
Yeah, so that's where we go.
Yeah.
If you watch the news any this year, if you're online any this year, you've probably heard the name Lake and Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Lake and Riley was a college student who was murdered at the beginning of the year in February of this year, and her trial has just happened. So really quick, actually, justice was served on this one. So we'll get into the details of it. But this is probably the quickest case that we've done that I was thinking about just timeline-wise of from when the person passed away.
Definitely on the
to
list.
When the trial occurred. So anyway, who was Lake and Riley? Lake and Riley was born January 10th, 2002. She's got three siblings. She graduated from River Ridge High School in Woodstock, Georgia, where she was a member of the cross-country team. So she's a runner. She's always been a runner. I cannot relate, but...
Nor can I.
She was a runner. And she had previously attended UGA as an undergraduate, where she was an active member in her sorority. And at the time of her death, she was a current nursing student at the Athens campus of Augusta University. She worked as a nanny to two young children. She took her faith very seriously. She was a devout Christian. She spent time doing mission work. She had done a mission trip to Honduras. And even in the midst of all that, she is going to write a letter to her future husband that her stepfather is going to read later on in court at her murder trial.
Her future husband that she had already met? Or
had
this
not
was
met,
just a
no,
future
this is
husband,
just like a, I'm praying, you
whoever
know,
you are out there.
Gotcha.
God to put this person in my life. Oh, it's just, if you watch that video, it's just heartbreaking. She's going to be 22 at the time of her death. So I'm going to tell you the timeline of what happened on February 22nd, 2024. And we know this timeline so accurately because, like I said, she's a runner. She has a Garmin watch that is going to monitor her heart rate, and she's carrying her iPhone.
Yeah.
So she's got a Garmin watch and an iPhone.
Two trackers right there.
At 8:55 a.m., she is going to text her mom, "Good morning, about to go for a run if you're free to talk." This is something that she did a lot. She would talk on the phone while she ran. I also can't relate because I can not talk while I run. Yeah. But they say that is what you're supposed to be in the aerobic condition to where you can carry on a light conversation while you're running. So that as a runner, she probably knew that. So she would talk on the phone to her mom. She would talk on the phone to her friends. Sometimes one of her friends would run with her. And they would chat, or sometimes she'd take a phone call while she's running with a friend. That was a very normal thing for her to do. About 9 o'clock, she's going to leave for the run. She's going to leave from her apartment and run to the Oconee Forest Park in Athens, Georgia. So she didn't live far from it. So she would just take off and jog to the park and run around the park. And it's like a wooded area. There's some trails, different places to run. Exactly 9:03 is when she's going to start her run on her watch. At 9:05, she is caught on UGA safety cameras running. So there's like cameras. She's got to get through a part of campus to get to this park, and there's cameras, and you see her running past the
camera. I've seen a little bit of that footage just in the last few days.
Mm-hmm. So the footage is quick because she's running by this one camera. At 9:08, she is tracked running in the Oconee Forest Park. So it takes her 5 minutes to get from her apartment to the park. At this point, her heart rate is at 156 beats per minute. Like, that's how accurate this data is.
She's trucking.
Yeah. At 9:10, this is 7 minutes after she starts her run, she's going to trigger the SOS feature on her iPhone.
At 9:10.
A few seconds later, she's going to come to a dead stop. So she's running at a pretty good pace, and then we're going to see her come to a dead stop. 10 seconds later, she uses the SOS function again, and then she's going to manually dial 911. This 911 call is successful. She can't hear much on the call. It's very muffled. You can hear a male voice on it, and then you can hear four distinct thuds, you can hear thud four times, and then the call is going to be disconnected. She is going to fight for her life over the next 17 minutes. And at 9:28 a.m., Lake and Riley's heart is going to stop beating.
The Garmin picks that up.
So we know the exact time of her death.
Wow.
So Lakin and her friends, they all share their locations on their iPhones. Like, that's a very normal thing. I mean, me and my friends share our locations on our iPhone. Like, it's just, especially young girls, it's something they do. So when she goes out for her run and she does not return when she should have, they start getting worried. And then they look up her location and they're like, she's not moving. So they're going to go search for her. And when they're pulling up her location and they're heading towards it, they're going to find one of her earbuds before they don't stumble upon her body, but they find one of her earbuds. So they don't see her around, and here's her earbud. And the Find My iPhone is pretty accurate, but they don't come right up on her. So they take this found earbud and the location that they have on their iPhones to show where she's at to the police. And they are going to report her missing at 12:05 p.m.
So very quick.
Yes. So they don't let this go. Like, she leaves and she doesn't come home. They're doing something about it.
And did the police take this seriously?
Yes.
Okay.
So this immediately.
Because we've heard stories when they didn't. Call us in 48 hours.
So many years ago. And now we do better at this. Mm-hmm. Right. I guess. Yeah.
Police are immediately going to head out to the location that they have on this iPhone, and they are going to just take some steps off the trail, and they are going to find her badly beaten body off of a trail in Oconee Forest Park in Athens, Georgia. And now during all this, her poor mother has been calling, because she texted her mom, said, if you're free to call, her mom is going to call not long after.
She sees the text, right?
Yes, she sees it several minutes later, but it's on into Lakin's struggle and on into...
Yeah, it's too late.
It's too late.
Ugh.
And her mother is going to continue to call and text her all morning because she's like, I'm worried. You're not calling me back. You're not, And unfortunately, her mother's worst fears have to be realized in this situation.
Yeah.
Well, it may be a... blessing in disguise that she wasn't on the phone with her daughter when that happened.
It would be awful, wouldn't it? Oh.
But I'll tell you exactly what we know happened to Lake and Riley after these words from our sponsor.
Are you looking for a health option in Cherokee County where the staff makes you feel just like family? Then look no further than Cherokee Family Healthcare.
Cherokee Family Healthcare treats patients of all ages with emphasis on personalized care. Call 256-266-1021 to schedule an appointment, or just walk into the office at 819 West Main Street and Center. If you aren't feeling well, and let them help you return to good health.
Connie Geimer and the staff at Cherokee Family Healthcare are accepting new patients and they accept most insurance plans. So whether you're suffering from a cold, the flu, aches or pains, or want to learn more about weight loss or preventative testing, make an appointment by calling Connie Geimer and the staff at Cherokee Family Healthcare at 256-266-1021 and let them get you on your way back to good health.
Kelly and Katie, let me tell you guys a quick story. Recently, while I was dining at Easy Street, I met a man from Georgia who told me that he and his wife were visiting the Weiss Lake area, planning to relocate here permanently when he retires soon. I told him the first thing that came to my mind, call Greg Oliver at Go Realty. The number is 256-504-3847. Greg is the owner and the broker at Go Realty right here in Cherokee County. If you're thinking of moving here or anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, if you're looking for property anywhere in the area, call Greg. He has a full list of waterfront, residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he's ready to help you find exactly what you're looking for. He's got 25 years of experience in the real estate market. Go again and look at that complete list that he currently has for offer. That's Greg Oliver, Weisslake.com. So visit the website or call Greg Oliver at...
What's that number again?
Thanks, guys. 256-504-3847.
And as we move into our holiday season, the Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce wants to remind everyone to shop local.
Cherokee County has some lovely shops that you can patron throughout the holiday season. Get any kind of gifts that you need. Scott, what kind of gifts do you need?
I don't really need anything, but there are plenty of things that I want, and you can get a lot of those things right here in Cherokee County. You can get a great meal at one of the many restaurants that is a member of the Chamber of Commerce. It's as simple as filling up your gas tank at a local station.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go out of town to do some shopping, if you have to leave town, but we hope you don't. Stay right here in Cherokee County.
Oh, yeah. And my gift that I want you to get me, Scott, you can definitely buy local. So I'll let you know about that later.
Well, you're going to ruin the surprise.
So we want to challenge all of you to make sure to do as much shopping as you can this holiday season right here in Cherokee County.
And if you need more information, visit cherokee-chamber.org.
Guys, we want to let you know that don't forget that Easy Street is now open for lunch 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday, open at 11.
Great lunch menu.
Let's do lunch.
Brand new. We've shared it on our Facebook page, and I know that Shane has also shared it on the Easy Street Facebook page, so it's easy to find the menu, and it's terrific. Everything on it.
Yes. What's your favorite thing, Scott?
I like the hamburger steak with the mashed potatoes. The mashed potatoes are better than I can make, and I make pretty darn good mashed potatoes.
No, they are.
They're terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, so what's your favorite?
Yeah. I like, you can get a flatbread pizza. Mm-hmm. I also like just the chicken fingers.
Yeah, chicken fingers are great. Best chicken fingers in town. How about you, Kelly?
I like the rice bowl with the chicken and the vegetables.
It's all good.
Yum-yum sauce.
Ooh.
So delicious. You're not going to go wrong. Salad bar's always fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Have lunch at Easy Street. You might see us there one day.
Yeah, you never know. 11 to 2 every day is when the menu prices on the lunch menu are...
That sounds right.
That's right. Something like that. Everything that comes out of that swinging door is delicious at Easy Street, we promise.
Yes. Thank you to Easy Street for being our primary sponsor, our main sponsor.
Yeah. Thanks, Shane. Go eat lunch.
Yes.
Yes.
Come see us.
Thank you very much to our sponsors. Katie, back to you in the big chair.
Okay. So here's what we know happened. Her attacker is going to kidnap her from where she was running and drag her off the path to just a little more secluded area. It's going to appear that he attempts to sexually assault her, and this is when she's going to fight him off as hard as she can. She's going to scratch and claw and kick. When she refuses to be his rape victim, he is going to beat her in the head so hard with an object that it's literally going to disfigure her skull.
Oh, God.
Like, he beats her head inward. Thankfully, there was no evidence that a sexual assault was completed. A sexual assault kit was done, as well as examinations of her body at autopsy.
So she fought him off, and then he got mad because how dare she, right?
And killed her. Her cause of death is going to be labeled blunt force trauma and asphyxiation, so he must have been strangling her as well. Police are going to be able to identify a suspect within hours of finding her body, and they're going to be able to arrest him, the next day.
Wow.
So the suspect is going to live about 5 minutes from the crime scene. He had left his house just before 7 a.m. that morning, literally to go hunt for a woman. Prior to the murder, he had attempted to enter the house of another student, but she caught him trying to break into her home, and she called the police. So the police coming are going to scare him off. That connected incident is going to help police be led to his home, along with the fact that police are going to find a jacket with Lake and Riley's hair on it in a dumpster outside of his apartment or near his apartment complex. And they're going to look at security cam footage of this, of security cam footage that's pointed towards this dumpster, and they're going to see a man dump this jacket as well as some gloves into this dumpster. And they're going to interview people who live in the apartment complex, and one woman is going to identify our suspect as the man throwing away the jacket.
Okay.
And it takes a minute, but they test these hairs that they find on the jacket, and they match Lake and Riley's. So who is our suspect? His name is Jose Ibarra. He is a 26-year-old undocumented Venezuelan immigrant. He came to this country illegally in 2022. He crossed the U.S. border near El Paso, Texas, in September of 2022, where he was apprehended by federal authorities. So they're going to catch him crossing the border.
Okay.
They are going to then release him.
Why?
Catch and release. They released him in the U.S. to await to.
They give him a court date and say, show up on this date. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's something like that. It's catch and release. It's current federal immigration policy.
And he has an avenue then to like plead his case, try to get asylum. I didn't completely go into immigration policy, but yeah, they've apprehended him and then they've released
him. It's pretty lax.
He's going to get on a bus. They're going to put him on a bus. To New York. So he's going to make it from Texas to New York. And he is going to stay at the Roosevelt Hotel Migrant Shelter in New York. And while he is in New York in September of 2023, he is going to be arrested and charged with acting in a manner to injure a child less than 17, as well as a motor vehicle license violation. So what had happened there was they said he was endangering his wife's 5-year-old son, who he had riding on the back of a moped without a helmet in New York City.
Mm. And they're pretty strict about that stuff in New York.
You should be strict about it. Probably, yeah, sure. Everywhere. But yeah. And he also must not have had a driver's license. I mean, he is not, you know, I don't know if he would have had any paperwork to get a driver's license. So then he is going to make his way he's going to catch a flight to Georgia, where he is going to rent this apartment that he was living in at the time of the murder. In October of 2023, he and his brother, who was reported by authorities to be a member of a Venezuelan gang, it's not reported that Jose here is a member of the gang, but apparently his brother was. His brother also is going to have temporarily worked at UGA. They were arrested by Athens police on theft charges. So I'm not certain that they were ever actually booked, because I see that they were arrested. I've also seen things that say that they were issued a citation and a court date. So both were released, though, after they apparently purchased stolen merchandise from a local Walmart. So I guess someone else had stolen the merchandise and they bought it off of them, or they were involved in a larger scenario where someone else, you know, maybe there was multiple parts to that theft. I'm not exactly certain. Because he had a court date in December for this arrest that he failed to appear for.
And then at that point, how do you proceed to find the person to make them come to court?
You don't.
So, okay, I feel like we found a problem with this policy immediately.
Yeah. When he was released in New York, apparently, ICE stated that they missed the opportunity to detain him after that arrest in New York because he was released before a detainer could be issued. So he spent so little time in custody that they couldn't even get the paperwork done
to get
ICE there.
Yeah. And in New York, you think about what they actually charged him with.
Mm-hmm. It was minor in comparison, yeah.
Right, right.
But now, so he's got this wife, like I said, who's got this young son. And while he's in jail, on these murder charges, there are recorded phone conversations of his wife just grilling him on the phone. But that's all in Spanish. I've listened to it played in court where a translator is going to translate what was said. Mm-hmm. But so I didn't, you know, this is not firsthand, I guess. But she's asking, you know something about this girl. Tell me what you know. And he's just telling her to stop. He's like, telling her to quit asking him questions. And she's like, how do they have your DNA and no one else's? Why are you there? What's going, and she's just telling her.
I mean, all valid questions. Mm-hmm. Is she undocumented as well?
I believe so, because she's telling him also, don't expect me to come visit you. I'm not coming up there. They've said there will be problems if I come up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Well, and unlike the last guy, when we had that Delphi murders update last week, he was dumb enough to admit things on the phone during conversations
multiple
with his
times.
Wife, which makes me think this guy maybe has a little bit more experience in the criminal world, because at least he was smart enough not to do that.
To not talk. Yeah.
He's just so stoic.
Okay.
He's stoic on the phone. He's stoic in every video I see of him. Mm-hmm. He must not speak English. He's wearing headphones throughout his trial, and I'm assuming they're
for translation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but he just, there's never a change in the look on his face.
Mm-hmm. Some of that, would you say, Katie, is coached by an attorney?
Maybe so. Yeah.
But you're also saying that you're seeing this in other things.
Yeah, I don't like the look on his face.
Well,
I don't like the look in his eyes.
Do you think he's a what we would have called a psychopath?
Maybe so. Right. I think he's dangerous. He looks dangerous, like
a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, and I think if it was coaching by the defense, and this is just my opinion, I think it was a bad idea, because those headphones for the entire time that he is in the courtroom remind everybody on the jury and everybody else, this guy doesn't even speak English.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just a reminder. If you forgot he's an illegal immigrant, look at the headphones.
We couldn't do like an iPod, whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
What the heck? AirPods.
Because no, they're over the head.
Yeah.
But
they look like what we're wearing.
Yeah.
Right here in the studio.
To your point there, Scott, there is no jury in this trial.
Oh, there's no jury. I didn't realize there was. Okay.
Okay.
He is going to waive his right to a jury trial.
So that's a bench trial?
Mm-hmm. Why does he do that? We don't know.
Because of what I just said. He's an illegal immigrant.
And his attorney probably said this.
There is overwhelming evidence. And a lot of times I looked up on reasons why you would waive your right to a jury trial.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's a lot of evidence, when it's salacious, when, you think sometimes you might have a better shot with a judge.
Well, then you think about what jury you might get there in Georgia. Mm-hmm. They're not going to look like him, I would say,
right.
Statistically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
So the evidence against him, there is going to be his DNA under her fingernails.
Mm. That's incriminating.
Yep.
When they go speak to him, he had scratches all on his arms.
Yeah. That puzzle fits.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be trail camera footage showing a man wearing very similar clothing to what he was wearing in a Snapchat that he had posted earlier that day. So he's going to post a Snapchat, and then they match what he was wearing to...
We said he was a psychopath. We didn't say he was smart.
Right.
And, he's in the area. He just lives right nearby. Like I said, they had reports that he's the same guy that was trying to break into that girl's house earlier that day. I saw one report that said something about a fingerprint on her cell phone, but I couldn't verify that with court reports. It was said that he threw away some gloves in the dumpster. So I'm not sure where someone got that information,
but I should throw that
out there.
And I'm not sure that we need a fingerprint on a cell phone at this point.
I just remember that Katie said at some point that call ended abruptly. You would think that maybe
he grabbed the phone and
then maybe he put his gloves on.
Maybe.
Because a glove is not going to work that phone.
Great point. And we've got the video footage from the apartment complex of him throwing the jacket away.
Mm-hmm.
And on the jacket, we're going to find Lake and Riley's hairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, yeah. We've put
it, we don't need a fingerprint.
We've
at this
put
point.
Him there.
We've got other
overwhelming circumstantial evidence
and DNA.
And that's what
and his DNA. His not circumstantial.
If you're not worried about, yeah.
His defense is going to say it's circumstantial. Like he, that's yeah. all they've got. I mean,
how is DNA under her fingernails circumstantial?
Does it mean he killed her?
Defense
just because she scratched him.
I mean, I know the attorney has to do his or her job. Mm-hmm. I know. I don't know what his attorney is, male or female. But.
So this trial is going to start November 15th and it's going to end November 20th with a verdict.
I knew that it was fast.
With a verdict and a sentencing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So prosecution is going to take 3 days.
Okay.
They're going to call more than a dozen law enforcement officers. They're going to call her roommates, a woman who lived in the same apartment complex as Jose Ibarra, who verified that he was the one on the security cam footage.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, they're going to call a police officer, a jogger, and one of Ibarra's neighbors before they rest their case. So they've got three witnesses, and the defense is going to call about 20, probably.
So what, their character witnesses?
I mean, the prosecution's going to, yeah.
Get a little sympathy from the judge before comes down.
Yeah, what were they saying about his character?
I don't think people really knew much about him. No, I don't think they were really character witnesses.
Well, like, you know, he was quiet. I never saw him do anything weird. Mm-hmm. I'm sure somebody, if they got him up on the witness stand as a defense witness, it must have been something that they thought would be helpful, right?
Yeah.
Because there was stuff about his brother brought up at one point, and they were like, no, we do not want to bring his brother in here. And,
his brother, the gang member?
Yeah. Right. And because they tested the DNA against his brother's to see if, you know, but that wasn't a match. But on November 20th,
because his brother didn't do it.
Yeah.
Nice try, though.
Yeah.
They're going to find him guilty of all 10 counts against him. He was charged with felony murder, malice murder, false imprisonment, aggravated assault with intent to rape, and kidnapping. And the judge is going to sentence him to life in prison without parole because that was the harshest available. The DA, from what I've heard, the DA in this area didn't put the death penalty on the table. That I guess she doesn't do death penalty in her cases. I don't know.
Right.
So it was without parole or with parole. And so the judge gave him the harshest sentence available to him. And he got some other sentencing for these other crimes he was convicted of. And the judge placed them all to run consecutive.
So
a long time in prison.
Yeah. So like even if some happened with the life, the other sentencing, they're all.
Because he's still in his 20s.
26 years old.
Yeah. We need a lot of years for a life sentence here.
Mm-hmm.
So like he was not that much older than her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this case is so heartbreaking because they're all heartbreaking, but you can't explain this one away. You can't make this one feel good or this one be like, if she'd have done something different, she was doing nothing wrong. She was doing everything you tell a young girl to do to stay safe.
Yep.
She was running at 9 o'clock in the morning on a college campus. She had her watch on. She had her cell phone there. Her friends had her location. She was about to be on the phone with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing nothing.
She has no connection to this man.
No.
She's, as far as we know, never met this man.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't know her.
Yeah, it's not like he's a jilted lover. He didn't ask her out a month ago, and this is some sort of revenge.
Everything.
Crazy person revenge killing.
Sure.
This is just wrong place, wrong time.
Everything says it was just a crime of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Why was he living in the area with college students? Is it a campus? Is he on campus?
He's not on campus, but he's very close.
He's living close to campus.
Well, and you said his brother worked at UGA, so maybe he had moved
to get a job there. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Because you said he rented the apartment, so he had to have some source of income. He flew down.
Mm-hmm.
He got an apartment. I mean,
he's got to have funds somewhere, yes. Yeah, like that.
Drug dealer brother.
Yeah, I don't know how you lease an apartment.
I don't know how
documentation. Yeah. I mean, I guess you can some, but I mean, it would just seem near a college campus, you're going to lease an apartment to someone and the person has no documentation of anything.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of roadblocks got skipped over, jumped around, or walked around. that led to this happening, because, you know, at the border to begin with, and then we know why I got shipped to New York, because the governor of Texas at the time, they were shipping immigrants, busing them and flying them to cities where they weren't as strict with immigrants. They were sending them to California and New York.
Well, the cities identified themselves that way.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
You can bring them here because this is what we believe.
That's why he ends up in New York.
Well, believe we should have wide open borders and they can come here.
Yeah.
That's why they were being.
That's right.
They had a whole place for him to stay. There's a whole, you know, migrant hotel there for them. The Roosevelt, like, he had a place to stay. A bus ticket. They sent him there. He had a place to stay.
How does that sit well with you guys? Like, what do you think about that? I mean, I'm not trying to get political. I'm talking about this particular law, like this particular availability of a place to stay.
Yes.
How does that make you feel? Let's say this wasn't a violent individual and he never hurt anybody. How does it make you feel that having a place to, like a sanctuary to stay?
I don't like it. I don't like that we have our own people who don't have places to stay.
Yeah.
We have our own homeless population and our own destitute population that we don't take care of.
Yeah, we don't.
There are places that literally build, and I'm not saying the right words. You're not supposed to say homeless. I do apologize. I don't mean it any type of way, but the unhoused or however you're supposed to, places build infrastructure to keep them out of underbridges and out from being able to get out of the rain.
And words like that, okay, in my opinion, words like that tend to get changed around and get softened so that we as people who have a home don't feel so bad saying it. You're not saying anything wrong. People are homeless.
Yeah.
There's a homeless population. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen a tent city, if you've ever seen a homeless population, it changes you.
True. Yeah. If you've ever walked the streets of San Francisco or Miami, or Chicago,
or drive down the road to Oxford, Alabama, and there's a whole one.
Really?
You can see it. Yeah. An entire one right there, 1 hour away from us.
But if you come here illegally, we'll put you in a hotel.
You can go to this big city and you can stay in the Roosevelt. I don't like that. But part of me, I can understand why people might present that, because if this man were not violent and he didn't hurt anybody, and he just wanted to come to America, I can see where people might say, oh, this is a good idea.
Yes, but
how
do we screen out the individuals like him? We can't.
Catch and release doesn't do that.
We can't screen them if there's no time. So it's terrible for the ones, but there's no other solution, I don't think.
We have good laws on the books. I think we just should follow them better. I don't agree with catch and release. I also don't agree with everybody in the big prisons there at the border. I mean, I just feel like other countries have a way of doing this. I know we're a giant country and it's hard, but I feel like we go from one extreme to the other, and where is the flipping happy medium? Where's the medium?
Yeah. We can't just go off and live somewhere else.
No, Canada's made that clear. Yeah. They're like, hey, look, we watch our borders.
Yeah, like you can go for a minute, and then you got to go home. Like, oh, you don't have a job here or
and
a reason to be here.
Says,
you got to go home.
And nobody says, oh, the Canadians are this, that, you know, they're racist, they're horrible. They don't say that.
You can't just, there's so many places in the world, most places in the world, you cannot just go and be just because you want to be
and
there.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Well, this country is unique in that respect, because it says right on the Statue of Liberty, give us your tired, your poor, your hungry, yearning to breathe free. And we have always called ourselves the melting pot of the world.
Yeah.
And we've had this history, the entirety of this nation's history, where we tell everybody, hey, we love immigrants, come here. But then when they show up, we don't have a plan in place. They're ostracized because they don't speak the language in some cases, like not the Irish, but the Chinese in the 1850s and 60s that came over to the West Coast to build the railroads. We wanted them kept separate. I mean, this country has a history of saying, hey, let's welcome everybody. But when they actually show up, we don't have a plan in place to help them to assimilate. It happens slowly over generations, Mm-hmm. And then they're okay. They're part of the community now.
Then they're,
we don't mind that you're Irish and you're Catholic and we're Protestant. Or, but it takes time, and there's never been a good plan in place as far as I've ever heard.
Assimilation here we are. Is a hot button topic too, because assimilation is hard. Because for one, what are you assimilating to? What do we call our culture?
Yeah.
And for two, I think people of like backgrounds and beliefs and just how they, you know, do at home, the foods they cook, they tend to assimilate into each other.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so
that's why there's a Chinatown and a Little Italy in every big city in the country, because that's where they go to feel safe around people that speak the language, know the same customs, eat the same foods, wear the same clothes.
Which I think is great and beautiful. And
I guess that's the answer to assimilation. Mm-hmm. You just bring them into a big place, and over the course of a generation or two, they filter out and intermarry as far as their immigration status goes. Irish marry Italians or whatever, and boom, you're assimilated.
Yeah, I've talked to some individuals who are products of families who were immigrants, who did things by the book. Now, I'm going to use their words. My family did it the right way.
Yeah.
Those are their words. One person is Mexican. One person is Puerto Rican.
Right.
Their thoughts on how to deal with this might shock some people, because their thoughts were, well, if you take these places who employ undocumented, places who house them, and you start fining them, the problem will begin to fix itself. That's how they have very strong beliefs on, they are not for it.
Because they did it the right way.
Because their family came to this country, did the correct, whatever the law was,
years-long process of becoming a citizen.
Of becoming Americans.
Yeah.
And they do not agree with just walking in to the country and being allowed to, they do not agree with. Or they, well, and like I said, these are just the folks that I've spoken with.
Yeah.
But their families were immigrants.
It's kind of hard to agree with an easier path when you've worked the harder path. Like, it's kind of on a less hot button topic and scale. It's kind of like the whole debate about forgiving student loans. Like, I have a hard time. I have my own theories on student loans. Like, I think if we're going to do anything, we should take the interest off of them. But that's the whole thing. Like, I worked so hard to not have student loans. I did not grow up with any money. And I could have taken out senseless student loans. I could have went to different, I could have made it. If I knew you were going to forgive these student loans, I would have went somewhere else to school. Probably I would have went out of state, or, you know, like there was, but I, that was my focus, was to not put myself in all this debt. And I'm like, well,
and my question to that is, I totally get that, Katie. Like, I'm not for that either. And I'm thinking, where's this money coming from to forgive student loans? Like, I don't understand that. So, well, I was thinking more like logistically.
Yes, exactly.
How
the other side
gonna...
of that argument is, and I agree with Katie, we've got to do something about it, but who knows what it is.
Yeah.
But it's the interest rates. A lot of those student loans that we're talking about, people think, oh, you're using my tax dollars to let these people go to college for free. In a lot of cases, they've already paid back that loan. They're still paying on the interest.
The interest.
So there's some private company out there somewhere that is making money off of this. They're the ones who don't want to forgive student loans. And they have lobbyists in Washington who are saying the same thing. And right now, enough more people than not are listening, because those private companies spend a lot of money in Washington, D.C.
But what we're not doing is going to the institution itself and saying, let's look at how much your tuition has increased over these years.
That's a good
and
one.
Tell me why.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem to me that the quality of your education has gotten any better. In fact, it seems like it's gotten worse. You're doing more online classes and lazy shit. And how is this a more quality education, more bang for the buck? So you had to raise tuition. We don't do that at all.
Yeah.
We don't ever go. And
where's this money going? Is it just to the football program, or are we paying?
How many coaches are you paying right now? You know, those kinds of things.
I can't believe you swore today before I did.
I did. That's crazy, isn't it? But definitely some hot button topics, and I love that we can kind of just like have a conversation
about it. Yeah, we can throw it out to
see.
Our listeners. We're not going to argue about it in here. I hope we haven't started an argument out there somewhere amongst people who are listening.
I don't think we have.
We don't want to be responsible for anybody's divorce.
So, right. It's just, I don't think that we have. I think that we're just bringing up issues that are real to a lot of people.
Sure.
Depending on which side of the aisle you are on with any of these issues, you have your reasons. You
Tragedy could have befell Lake and Riley another way.
It could have.
But this could have been prevented.
This, she is dead because
he should not have been there.
Yeah.
He should
He shouldn't have been in her path. He shouldn't have been in this
country. Somebody else may have been in her path. That's going to be the counter argument. I get that. Like if this was her destiny, if this was going to happen to her, I hate all that too.
Me too.
I think he shouldn't have been there.
No.
Yeah, he hopped a lot of fences that had been at least nominally placed in front of him to end up on that jogging path in that park in Athens,
and we
Georgia,
didn't do anything to teach, enforce, or we condoned it is what we did. What we showed him was there's really no penalty for you doing whatever the hell you want to do.
And I mean, who knows if this is the first woman he's attacked or not?
I'm going to say probably
because you don't
not.
Usually just wake up at 26 and decide this is.
Yeah.
I'm going to go hunting for a woman to rape today. No.
Well, it does sound, and we've talked before about people who become serial killers. They refine their technique over time.
Yeah.
Sounds like he was definitely early in his psychopathic behavior because he didn't really have a plan yet.
Mm-mm.
Or at least he hadn't looked to see where the security cameras were in his neighborhood.
Right.
So maybe he's early in that process, but like Katie said, 26 is a little late, it seems like.
I mean, maybe he'd been committing crimes in Venezuela.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about him.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So. But if you go to Venezuela, how easy is it going to be for you to just go there and live?
Well, nobody wants to go there.
Yeah. That's why.
But I mean, even with that being said, and I don't know what
everybody
the laws
wants
are there.
To come here.
I don't know what I don't know what the laws are there, but I don't think it would be, I don't think I could just decide one day I want to go move there and live. Maybe I could. I'll look it up and see, but. Just
swim up to shore, walk up on the bank and say, hey, I'm home.
Here I am. Yeah. Accept me.
Yeah. How about some free food and a place
to
stay?
Be like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Who are you? You know, I don't know. I think they have a term for that. It's called gringo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what.
I think that's right.
I mean, that's it. It's back from the war, like green, go home. Green, you know, the
is that how that,
the soldiers.
Is that it?
Gringo?
Yeah. Okay.
That's what that is.
I don't know. I felt like we might have dipped our toe in the pool of racism there for a minute, but I don't know how that works.
I mean, that's what a, that's, I,
that's a white person.
Like, I would be called that.
Yeah, okay.
Is what I'm saying.
I'm just making sure we don't step on
No. I don't mean to offend. I'm just saying that's where that term
I step in
comes
enough
from.
Puppy poop at home without doing it here on podcast day.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. I understand
See?
That.
Look. The bottom of my shoe. I'm
There's
kidding.
Nothing on the
Not
bottom
today.
Of his shoe doesn't get. Anyway, so I don't know. I'll look that up and see. But I mean, we've already established that other countries have strict ways of coming in. But it doesn't change the fact that we didn't that particular day. And she's dead.
Yes.
And I mean, that's just. It's terrible reality, and I hate it, but I do feel like the judge did what, was it a male judge?
Yeah.
What he was supposed to in doing the life without the possibility of parole. How do you guys feel that the DA, do you feel like those were the right options?
No, I think he should have had the death penalty.
Really?
Well,
okay.
Well, but didn't you say the charge was aggravated murder?
No, the charge
felony was murder.
Felony murder and malice murder.
Okay, but that's not first degree.
That's
murder.
Not first degree.
Right, and that's the difference as far as the legal system is concerned.
Why would it not be? How do you bash someone's head in?
I don't know.
And it's not first degree
murder.
Because
it didn't. Because first degree murder implies that it was premeditated.
You can get death penalty for the malice murder.
Okay.
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 You might could get it for felony murder too.
But I guess,
in Georgia. Remember, this is in Georgia.
Yeah, I guess the prosecutor thinks if I can get him convicted of this charge and get him off the street for the rest of his life, he's probably going to spend 30 years on death row anyway before he before he gets his needle,
right?
Assuming that he ever does.
Yeah.
So if you can get him off the streets forever and protect the rest of your
Think your citizens need to be protected.
Your citizens,
you're right.
Maybe you go with the sure thing or the closest to a sure thing. Because what if some hotshot defense attorney that specializes in the death penalty hears about this case and decides he wants to make this his next big push to become, you know, a celebrity or gain some notoriety, and somehow the jackass gets off.
Well, no, I think she just has a moral qualm against the death penalty. Yeah. I don't think
I don't have a problem with that.
I think she just was, you know, she just does not.
And the DA has the choice, the discrepancy to decide that. And if you don't like that, then get another DA.
Yeah, elect there's an election DA. In two years or whatever.
Yeah. So that makes sense to me. But so let's say he walked. Then what happens? He's still an undocumented. Yeah. What do you do?
I maybe at that point.
Can he then go back to Venezuela?
I don't know.
I would have to believe at that point I steps in somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Goodness gracious, I should educate myself more on
this. Yeah. It's laws. Made me think that I need to be, because I was sick about it.
Gosh, I hate this for her. What did you know what was in that letter that she wrote to her?
Oh, I mean, it was, you know, some church groups and all must do this, but, you know, just praying for him, you know.
Yeah, the qualities
that she wanted in a husband, how she was, you know, preparing herself and her walk with Christ to meet him there.
And when this guy showed up in her life and he read it, it would be like she had been writing it to him specifically all along.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, her stepdad read that and, oh, I couldn't watch much of it because it just got...
My heart goes out to her family. Mm-hmm. How do you live with that kind of loss and then anger and just resentment? I feel like it would just...
How many times have we asked that question on this podcast?
Oh,
we do here. This is... Right. Sorry for the bad news, guys, but we're a true crime podcast, and a lot of times we wrap this thing up by saying, ugh.
Yes,
and I think about, too, her siblings and then her roommates. I mean, you know, they've got to just be... replaying this, thinking, you know, we thought we were all safe. We were doing what we were told, checking in on our friend, making sure.
Well, it's like you said, nobody feels like, I hope that if only I had done this instead.
Yeah.
At least the Riley family, plenty of that on the other side.
Yeah.
But on the Riley family, you did everything you could do to try to be safe.
Right. I would not say
what are we not supposed
to run?
Yeah.
Girls can't run now?
I mean, somebody out there is saying if she'd been carrying a pistol, she might still be alive. I'm sure somebody is saying that.
Well,
and
I'm not saying that they're wrong, but
I just now thought of it.
I'm just saying, I don't know. It would be, even if you believe, if the Second Amendment is your thing, which we have the Second Amendment, it's all right. You don't run with a gun.
You don't want to think you have to.
Especially where she was at.
Yeah.
It seems like more of a liability than a protection at that point. But you're right. Somebody probably... would say
and
that,
I
you
can.
Know.
It'd be hard to disagree, because maybe she would be alive. But he would be dead instead.
What a story. Katie, you did a great job with it. It's just a really sad story. And it really fast as far as the way the justice system worked on this one. So,
and they actually did, you know, with the not having a jury trial, we saved the court system some money, saved some time. So that... I guess that's one thing he did for.
Yeah. Is he in jail? What part? Where in Georgia is he in jail? Do you know?
I don't know where they've sent him now, because the trial was out of Athens.
I don't know where death row is in Georgia.
Well, he's not on death row.
There's a big federal facility in Atlanta. Maybe it's there.
He's not on death row. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's
the hardcore penitentiary.
Violent offenders, probably. Hopefully they sent him somewhere that has a maximum security.
I'm not sure where he's at.
Okay.
All right, well, we will look that up and have an update maybe for you in the future when we find out. We are going to ask you to say something nice about us on our Facebook page. Give us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes and leave your name, and we will give you a shout-out. We didn't do any shout-outs today, but I think we may have some for the next time.
All right.
We sit here together. Is that it, guys? Yeah. Are we done?
We're
good night, everybody.